This is Colt Chinero Chat, the world's best English language Atletico Madrid podcast and an official partner of IntoTheCalderon.com, SB Nation's Atletico Madrid site. I'm your host, Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat, making his standard weekly appearance on the program, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. Rob joins me to dissect Saturday's Madrid derby at Estadio Santiago Bernabeu. It finished 0-0 between Real Madrid and Atletico. We will discuss Jose Jimenez's dominant second half performance, which arguably was the single biggest contributing factor to Atletico's draw. How Atletico extended one streak and tied another historic mark. Controversy over VAR. What's happened to Costa's form? And a lot more. We're going to talk all about this game. Plus, we'll preview Atletico's return to the Champions League on Wednesday. They will host Club Bruges at Estadio Wanda Metropolitano. But before we jump into that, we'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe to Colt Chinero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. You can listen to all new and archived episodes on Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and a review if you would be so kind. It would really help us out and get more eyes and ears on Colt Chinero Chat. Finally, become a Colt Chinero Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. From as little as $3 a month, you too can get access to the weekly bonus pods, including my solo analyses. After most Atletico Madrid matches, I will be doing another such solo analysis following Atletico's match against Club Bruges on Wednesday. Patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. We'll be back with Rob Walker in just a moment. Stick with us. Oh, I saw Didier Drogba play football last night.
Yes, I saw. Was that an exciting experience?
It was. He's not what he once was, but yeah, he's still a legend, you know. And he did play pretty well his first game since May for Phoenix Rising.
Has he been injured?
He's been. Let's call it taking a sabbatical,
I guess.
I mean, he's part owner. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, these things happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. They're cool with him playing whenever he wants to play. But he's coming back just in time for the end of the American season, which, remember, is really weird.
Yes, completely backwards and conflict with their national tournaments and in general makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's... But no, he was back. He played 90 minutes and Phoenix Rising won.
Hooray.
Yeah, and he wore the captain's band and... It's just awesome to see a guy like that just play. And even in a 6,000-seat stadium. It's probably even cooler to see it in such a small stadium.
It is, yeah, for a player that has such international clout to be playing in a lower division of American soccer is quite cool.
Yeah, and this is his last year. He's retiring no matter what, so maybe he can win one more trophy before it's all said and done.
That would be pretty cool.
You know what else we can do before we really start the show is for the first time this season, Rob, we can do a whip around.
Oh joy! How I've missed the whip around.
Oh, I have lost sleep thinking about the whip around and how we've been unable to do it.
Whip around.
But we're gonna solve this. We are doing a whip around right now, Rob. It is live. It is happening.
Absolutely.
Match day 7. Match day 7 is nearly done. We have one game left. It's on Monday. Celta Vigo and Getafe. That's either going to be really fun or really, really boring.
Yeah, I was just about to say. It could be good or terrible.
Yeah, yeah. There really is no middle ground there. But let's start on Friday. Really entertaining game at Vallecas, which is now habitable again. Rayo 2, Espanyol 2. Back and forth game. Rayo, I think, will take the point. They're still 18th. But they have a game in hand, that game against Athletic, which was canceled because their stadium was a mess. On Saturday, our old friend Kevin Gamero, Rob, scored the winner for Valencia. They beat Real Sociedad.
He surely did. Granted, it was not the best game in the world, which, you know, tends to be the kinds of games that Kevin Camaro scores in. So.
Exactly.
But, yeah, no, fair play to him. They needed that result.
They finally...
Real Sociedad don't look so good anymore.
They finally have a win. Valencia finally have a victory, their first of the season. It only took them until September 29th to get it.
Yeah, that not such a good start to the season. We thought ours was bad.
Yeah, we did. Shout out Valencia. Shout out Kevin Gamero scoring another winning goal in La Liga. Barcelona 1, Athletic Club 1. Massive result at Camp Nou. Barcelona probably should have won this. Luis Suarez missed two huge chances in this game. And Leo Messi was rested. But, of course, because Barca can't live without him, they fell behind and Messi had to rescue them, setting up Munir for an 83rd-minute equalizer.
Did not think that in this year of our Lord 2019, Munir would still be playing for Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, crazy stuff. Crazier things have happened. He should be getting more time elsewhere. He's too good to be on that bench.
He's been there for far too long, and he's had too many loan spells that haven't really done it. So, yeah, he needs to be somewhere permanently.
He was really good at Alaves last year. They couldn't buy him. He just didn't have enough money.
Yeah, he needs to find a sort of middle-tier team somewhere because he just has not played enough.
Eibar 1, Sevilla 3. Sevilla are absolutely just sizzling right now. That's their third straight win. Riding high, especially after beating Real Madrid in midweek. They go to Ipurua and really just do one against Eibar, who just cannot seem to really score many goals, even though they have a ton of possession most days. Andre Silva, Pichichi leader with 7 goals. Go figure.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Turns out when you take him out of a dysfunctional AC Milan, he's actually an all right player.
# La Liga is boring and uncompetitive.
Yes, exactly. And all the other teams outside the top two are terrible.
We will talk about the Madrid derby in just a moment. On Sunday, we're recording this on a Sunday, so earlier today, Huesca and Girona played out a 1-1 draw. Penalties either side. Axel Werner did not play. Villarreal 0, Real Valladolid 1. Villarreal still have not won at home, Rob. That's kind of insane. They have scored just 1 goal at La Ceramica. And I looked at the expected goals for this game. I actually tweeted it out earlier. Real Valladolid had their biggest chance was worth about 0.6 expected goals. You take away that one huge chance, 0.26 XG for the whole game, and they won.
Yeah, it might have been smash and grab, but when you're in a relegation battle, you need it. And they were both of our tips to get out of a relegation struggle, so they're doing us proud.
Yeah, unbeaten in their last 3. They're all the way up to 9th now. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, maybe best of a bad bunch, shall we say.
Levante coming back to beat Alaves 2-1. And Real Betis, they left it late. They beat Leganés by 1-0. Lauren Morón getting the winner. You want to guess how much possession Betis had in this game, Rob?
I'm going to guess a lot.
83% possession.
Oh, mercy.
And they only won 1-0.
They've been unfortunate to not score more goals than they have already this season. So they're struggling a little bit up front, but you sort of seem to think with the amount of opportunities they're creating that will change.
I mean, they played Joaquin up front today. That's kind of where that's at. They don't.
That's the thing that's happening.
They don't have a focal point. No. Lauren Morón had to come off the bench and score the winner in the 89th minute, set up by Christian Teo.
He's still around.
He's been like the next big thing forever.
Well, and Giovanni Lo Celso was pretty good as well.
Yeah, that deal was still quite the coup they pulled off, bringing in Lo Celso from PSG.
Robetta's had a real good summer.
Yeah.
Real good.
And Atletico play them next in La Liga. But before we get to that, let's track back to Saturday at the Santiago Bernabeu, Rob. Real Madrid 0.
Yes.
Atletico Madrid 0. A goalless draw in the Madrid derby, as you wrote in player ratings. A goalless draw. Our favorite.
Yes. Well, you know, how could it be a Madrid derby if it's either A, boring, or B, the best game you've ever seen? So, but yeah, 0-0 draw, but not the worst result, of course. I was hoping that Atleti would be able to smash and grab it there at the end, but no. Overall, I guess a positive, but not great.
Also a bit controversial.
Well, yes.
In the 31st minute, it looked to me like a stonewall penalty. Simeone, Godin, and Koke all thought it was a Stonewall penalty. If you didn't see it, Koke goes to cross it, deflects off Casemiro's wrist, forearm area. Yeah. No penalty. They didn't even send it to VAR.
Yeah, it was a strange scene because Godin, obviously, as the captain, was the main person talking to the referee. And it sort of seemed like, I thought for a second, they were going to review it because it seemed like Godin had sort of been appeased by the referee. But no, they didn't. It was weird they didn't even check it.
Yeah. I've said this since the beginning of the season. VAR is really only as good as the people who use it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can interpret that as you wish, but...
I think, in fairness, there's some weirdness with VAR that everyone's still getting used to. Like, how contentious of a mistake does it have to be? Does it have to be an obvious mistake? Can it be a little mistake? Whatever. I think we're still going to have these teething problems until VAR's been around for a little while in all the major leagues.
I mean, this, to me, looked pretty clear-cut.
You'd think.
I mean, and Atletico announced today that they were going to request clarification from the arbitration committee about the VAR controversies. And just generally, it's been kind of a strange rollout for VAR. And it also kind of frames this as our own Robbie Dunn tweeted. This also kind of frames it as Atletico were robbed rather than dominated. That changes the narrative that has been kind of promulgated about the derby in recent years.
Yeah, that's very true. And I mean, it's not only just VAR that's kind of murky in terms of the rules. I mean, the handball rule, let's say, could be clearer. I think there's a lot of confusion both within the media and the referees about what can be counted as a handball. Does it have to be intentional, whatever the hell that means? Does the arm have to be like X arbitrary amount of inches away from the body or whatever? So I get why it didn't go to VAR, but I think it's one of those things that they should have at least had a look at.
It's like defining what a catch is in the NFL.
Right, yeah, exactly. Very timely. Or what a balk is.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
We don't know. We just kind of have a gut feeling.
You can't be up there balking like that. Like, nobody knows what it is.
But gut feelings aren't going to win matches. Is this a fair result to you, despite the penalty controversy? Was this fair, this result?
I think Real Madrid had some good chances. I think Atleti got lucky that Bale went off. But yeah, on balance, I think it was fair. I don't think Atleti did much going forward. But I think for the most part, they defended well. There were some fairly obvious mistakes throughout. But for the most part, they're all right.
You mentioned the defense. Shout out Jose Jimenez. Monster performance from him.
Yeah.
One of his best.
It was basically him and some other dudes.
Yeah. He, by the end of this match, he was just everywhere doing everything for everyone. He wasn't just showing his quality, he was leading from the back. Like, particularly, he was carrying Godin around with him. Godin, in the second half, really faded noticeably. Made a couple errors on the halfway line that could have resulted in goals if Jimenez didn't bail him out.
Yeah, and I mean, his reactions were on point for one of them in particular when Godin really gave the ball away poorly, but
to Asensio.
Right on him.
That was when he gave it away to Asensio, wasn't it?
Yeah, correct. That was a really scary moment, but as soon as I saw Jimenez coming in like a freight train, I felt a little better.
Yeah, so Asensio pickpockets Godin, or rather Godin allows him to pickpocket him. He breaks, and it looks like it's going to be a 2-on-1 or even a 2-on-0 because Benzema is to Asensio's left, and he's trying to square it up to him, which I don't know why he did that. Asensio needs to have that killer instinct and shoot the ball. But Jimenez is there to cut it out and kind of steer it away to safety, and you know that could have been Madrid's very best chance of the game. And just 5 minutes earlier, Asensio had a shot saved by Oblak.
I mean, Oblak was magnificent. I think Jimenez easily were two of the standouts, especially in the defensive part of the pitch. But, wow, yeah, there were certainly some good chances for Real Madrid. And I would have been even more worried about Diego Godin had Gareth Bale not come off, because he's just a handful. Even if he's not on form, he's just a problem with his physical attributes. So that would have been worrisome, I think.
Yeah, yes, it would have. Bale, I think we talked about this before. What a surprise. Gareth Bale's hurt again.
I mean, this is just a thing now.
You know, I get the optimism from Madridistas. Oh, maybe this is the year Bale doesn't get hurt. You know, maybe this is the year that he stays fully fit and, you know, we can finally build an attack around him. No, you have a long-standing track record of Bale missing large chunks of time with muscular injuries, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Madrid have one of the best fitness coaches in the world in Antonio Pintos, and he can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, and he's not exactly quick to come back from these injuries in terms of getting back into form. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think it was sort of expecting a lot that he would play it most of their games this season after, I mean, don't get us wrong, he's had some brilliant moments for them.
He's a brilliant player overall. Bale's a world-class player, but he just can't stay healthy. And Lopetegui, I mean, even tried to rest him.
Towards the point where you could put him and Marco Reus in kind of a similar bracket, two guys that are undoubtedly the highest quality but just can't stay on the pitch for any length of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember that summer where everyone was reporting that Marco Reus was coming to Atletico? Royce Rojiblanco?
That did happen.
Oh, man. Good time. Summer 2014
was wild.
Well, Marco
Reus has been linked to go a lot of places, but he's just sort of ended up being the last man standing at Dortmund.
Yes, no kidding. One club man. And Atletico, yeah. We'll see him in a few weeks. Like how I did that little segue there?
Yes, that is if he's on the pitch. I don't watch German football. I don't know if he's alive or not right now.
But back to this game. Yeah, Oblak made that huge save on Asensio in around 65 minutes. Danny Carvajal had a really solid chance about 10 minutes after that Oblak just kind of swatted away like Dikembe Mutombo style.
Yeah.
Like a fly swatter. No.
He's so strong.
Yeah, he's such a good goalkeeper. And he's whenever he's called upon, he makes these kinds of saves and he makes them look easy. Atletico really were kind of burrowed in there defending for their lives in that second half. It was for a time in that second half, but there were other times where they looked pretty comfortable. The first half, Atletico were really under control, and a lot of that was due to Rodri. Big surprise. Guess what his passing accuracy was in this game?
Oh, it was brilliant, I know, because I was looking at it when I was doing the player ratings. It was unreal. It was like above 90.
96% at the Bernabeu.
Which is just unbelievable for a guy essentially in his second full season as a pro.
He fouled a little too much. This was a very physical, very choppy game, which I really enjoyed how physical this was and how kind of petty it was at times. Also, shout out Sal for making Sergio Ramos bleed again.
Yeah, we do appreciate that. But you would think in a game that's more foully and more petulant, that's going to play in Atletico's favor.
And it did. The first half, I think, wasn't all Atletico, but they were better in that first half. There was a different...
I mean, I think hindsight is 20/20, but they needed to go in the first half, I think, if they were going to win it.
Yeah, and they had two great chances to do so. I mean, what was Griezmann trying to do here on his 1v1? He was trying to chip Courtois when he should have just rounded him.
That was a chance, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was it. That was like the derby last year at the Wanda, when Correa had like that 4th minute chance and he blew it.
Yeah,
that was very similar situation. That was the chance.
Well, the problem is that Atletico style requires on the strikers taking these chances if they're gonna get 3 points in league matches.
And Griezmann just kind of screwed this up. Then 20 minutes later, Griezmann plays Costa through, and Costa is just so out of it. Man, this is the kind of game that usually wakes him up, and he is just so out of it. That was his one chance. It was from a tough angle. He couldn't quite get a good enough touch on it, and Courtois saves it with his fingertips. An in-form Costa buries that, no question, but he's just not with it right now, and Simeone took him off with 20 minutes to go in a Madrid derby.
I mean, he is on a foul run of form at the minute, and that's crazy. It's what I wrote in the player ratings, is that it speaks volumes that he gets taken off 0-0 in a derby for holding midfield player, which is weird in its own right, but bad.
And there's been a more... I've certainly noticed this against Huesca and against Madrid on Saturday. There was a more concerted effort to get him the ball.
Correct.
And he's not doing anything with it right now. And it makes me think that Nikola Kalinic might get a little bit of a run here just to see what we've got in this backup number nine. Kalinic came on for 6 minutes here at the Bernabeu as Simeone went for the win. Only got a couple touches, but Simeone is starting to trust him a little bit more. He's getting adapted to the team more. It wouldn't surprise me if he started on Wednesday.
No, it wouldn't me either. I think a rest for Costa might be a good thing. And I think, really, at this point, Atletico need to find a striker who can get hot playing up front. It doesn't particularly matter who it is. Obviously, it'd be good to be Kalinic. I mean, Correa, we know he can occasionally score goals, but I wouldn't bet on it. So it seems Kalinic is the most likely at the minute.
Yeah, Cholo went back to the Griezmann-Correa pairing for a while in the second half. And as we saw last year, that pairing just really does not work because they're too similar. Griezmann and Correa are just too similar, and Correa misses too many chances.
When those two were up top together, just nothing happened, really. And I was surprised that it took 15 minutes of watching that to get Nikola Kalinic on.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe Kalinic should come on sooner. I don't know, but again, hindsight really is 2020.
Yeah, of course.
And other than that, like, almost...
But you just think of those first half chances. I totally agree with you. First half, they were so much better. Second half was really a drop-off, which was, you know, a bit worrying.
Yeah, I mean, there was a different mentality in that first half. More positive, especially with Rodri out there kind of controlling the flow. He's such a good player, man. He's so good, and I'm so glad he plays for Atletico. It was a different type of first half than... It was still kind of cagey, and very physical, very chippy. But Atletico had a different mindset, it looked like. And they did have two great chances. And if either one of those guys was in form, then Atletico would probably go on to win this match. But they didn't. And the second half was the Jose Jimenez half. I mean, this was just one of his best performances in red and white. 9 clearances, 2 interceptions, 1 tackle, only 1 foul. He was just everywhere. And the defense, I think this back four, despite its relative age, I think it mostly worked. Godin made a couple really bad mistakes that he got away with. Juan Fran, Kian Sobani and I talked about this midweek on the preview pod. Juan Fran just, he always gets up for this game. There's like a fountain of youth or something that he finds and he drinks from before the Madrid derby.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this was Juan Fran's best performance of this season.
It was up there.
I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah, defensively, I thought he was fantastic. 3 tackles, 3 interceptions, a couple clearances, only 1 foul, but he did get a yellow card for it. It was Ceballos. He fouled Ceballos, and Ceballos, ugh, that dude's super annoying.
Juan Fran, he ran us ragged when he came on.
Juan Fran played well. Felipe played pretty well. Tomas Lemar didn't play too well. First half, he was finding space, kind of drifting inside, finding a little more space, but that got cut off from him as the game moved along and Madrid started to dominate. Koke on the wing, again, we see this in big games. It should not be a surprise to anybody that we see this. What else? What else was there that you saw?
Yeah, I mean, I think that sums it up pretty well. I mean, Rodrigo was obviously magnificent.
Yeah.
I thought Saul was good early, but kind of faded as the match went along. And, I mean, in general, after the first half, I felt like we could win it. But then after the second, I felt like we were hanging on, and I was happy for a point.
It's a good point, especially I think Madrid lost more. And obviously, they lost Bale, and Lopetegui is still in search of that big win, that signature win. I mean, the toughest teams Madrid have played against this season are Atletico twice, Atletico away, and Sevilla away. They haven't won any of those 4 games. That's a problem for them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the La Liga title situation, we were feeling pretty doom and gloom a couple weeks ago. It's still not ideal, but it's much better than it was.
Oh, yeah, this is shaping up to be a race. And I do want to talk about that. This is shaping up to be, Atletico could be in this now. They had such a good week, and Barcelona had such a bad week, and Real Madrid had such a bad week that, I mean, hey, there is certainly some optimism now after you and I talked about 2 weeks ago that the race might be over. No, it's back on. Things happen quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think it's understandable that we were a bit down early in the season. But I think now that we're sort of getting more into the year, we can see that there are more problems with Real Madrid and Barcelona than there have been in the last couple of years, at least.
Quite possible. Let's circle back to that. Let's talk about Madrid for a second. Thibaut Courtois was good. He made two really big saves when he needed to make them. No one really likes him or respects him anymore, but he did what he had to do. I kind of thought Keylor Navas would start this game, but Lopetegui went with Courtois and he repaid his faith. I wrote in one of my keys to the game that isolating Luka Modric would be key. Kind of just finding a way to keep him away from Kroos or to keep him away from influencing the game. Lopetegui had liked to play him in advanced areas, and I think Atletico did a pretty good job cutting him off without pressing him. They restricted his influence quite a bit, I thought.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think for the most part, when you watched that match, you saw Modric popping up very deep when he was getting the ball, sort of just in between the center back and the right back, a little bit in front of there. And he really wasn't able to pull the strings in the way that obviously Lopetegui was hoping he would be able to. I mean, they have Kroos there too, but he wasn't really able to do much either. So yeah, in that respect, I think they did quite a good job. I don't think the starting front three changed a bit, and Ceballos really changed the game for them. But I thought they dealt with Benzema fairly well, and Asensio, as he is, was a problem.
Yeah, Asensio was good. Danny Ceballos, that dude was a problem. That dude's going to be a problem with the more playing time he gets. He comes on, he sticks with the 4-3-3. He just sticks Ceballos there, and no matter, Ceballos just goes and starts pulling the strings. Drew, it felt like just 12 or 13 fouls. It felt like he drew so many more than he actually did. Three key passes in the second half alone, 96% pass completion. Just a brilliant cameo for him. A brilliant second half. It evened out the numbers in midfield. It gave them an extra man when Ceballos dropped back. And that's kind of a silver lining that Bale's injury allowed them to actually play better.
And I think, I mean, this is the first Real Madrid manager we've seen in a long time that is quite willing to play the younger players, because for the most part, when you're at Real Madrid, you're fighting for your life. But I think Lopetegui, more than some of the others, certainly more than Mourinho or Zidane or whatever, is willing to give these young guys a shot, and Ceballos is clearly very good. We saw that at Betis. So if he gets around the team, that's a bit of a worry for everyone else.
Yeah, you mentioned the younger guys. Vinicius Jr., we've been hearing about him forever. He came on. That kind of reeked of desperation, but he came on to try to do some things, and Jose Jimenez was like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah, nope. He was like, hey, check out my wonderful Brazilian dribbling, and then just ran into the brick wall of Jose Jimenez.
Like, oh, that's great, clearance. Oh, look what I can do. Tackle, interception, clearance.
Nope, you're not getting into this third. You're not allowed.
Yeah, that was a strange move to give him his first minutes in a game this intense. Mm-hmm. And I thought Mariano might have been a better choice.
Absolutely.
If you need someone to finish a chance, that's pretty much all he does.
And nobody really led the line for them. I mean, Bale was there for a little bit, but then he gets injured.
Yeah,
Benzema didn't do a huge amount.
Yeah, I mean, Benzema's out of form again. Asensio kind of took half the game off. So a lot of this was restricted to giving Modric touches on the right-hand side, which didn't really allow him to do much. Just kind of passed sideways to Kroos, and Kroos played well. Kroos kind of pulled all their strings, which I guess is kind of the benefit of having those two guys. If one of them has an off game, you have the other one.
But very true.
With Modric, they just kind of, they didn't press him, they didn't man mark him like Sevilla did, but they effectively kind of cut him off. They did a really good job cutting him off.
Yeah, it was. And I think overall, I think we have to say it was a good performance. I mean, when you go to the Bernabeu and don't lose, you got to take that. We can be greedy and ask for 3 points, but I think given what happened this week, I think it makes it a little bit easier.
Of the last 11 league derbies, Rob, Atletico have won or drawn 10 of them.
I mean, it's hard to ask for better than that, especially the position that Atleti have been in previous to that. And in terms of their results in the derbies, not winning for, suppose it, 20 years? 10 years? 15 years? Something like that. There was a long period years. Of not winning in the derby.
14 years, 25 derbies. And Simeone has come in, and this is kind of now the new normal. Well, in La Liga, at least. This is now the new normal. Atletico go to the Bernabeu, and they don't lose. They tied a 70-plus-year-old record for consecutive seasons going to the Bernabeu and not losing. Valencia set the mark that Atletico tied yesterday from 1942 to 1948.
Which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And I think... for someone to change sort of the mentality of a club in that way when it goes to face its biggest rivals, who have always been, for lack of a better term, the bigger brother, I think it takes someone as special as Diego Simeone, who, as much as we can, you know, kind of have some grievances with some of the things that he does, he is a very special manager, especially for this club.
Couldn't agree more. And this is, like I said, the new normal. This is now normal and stuff to nitpick when, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, this would have been a miracle. A result like this would have been a miracle. And now it's just, you know, some people are like, oh, Atletico should have done this better. What if they had done this? And you sit back and look big picture like, okay, this is a fine result. A scoreless draw at the Bernabeu, regardless of context, is a good result if you're the visiting team. I will take that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it may have gone a little bit unnoticed, but in that sort of, I'd say, probably opening 15 minutes, it sort of felt like Atleti were really going for it more than they did at any other point in the match.
Yes, I felt that way too. And it kind of culminated in that Griezmann chance that really should have been a goal. The expected goals for this game, Real Madrid 1.14, Atletico 0.66. So really not that far apart. According to understat.com, this was projected to be a draw. The expected points, about 1.8 for Real Madrid, just under 1 for Atletico. So a draw was the fair result, according to expected goals as well.
Yeah, I think Atleti kept it tight enough and counted on their goalkeeper and a bit of luck. And, I mean, essentially both teams missed their best chances, and that's how we got here.
Let's talk about... the title race, as it were, and then we'll head on to the Champions League. Rob, let me know if you agree with this or not. I think if this is an 85-point league or less, Atletico have a great chance to win it. If it's more than 85, Atletico are going to come up short again. Agree?
I think that's definitely fair.
And we haven't seen a league less than 85 points. I mean, the fewest points we've seen over the last five seasons was 90 when Atletico won it in 2013-14.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The least amount of points to win it recently was Atletico.
Last two seasons, it's been a 93-point league. The season before that, it was a 91-point league. In 2015-16, a 91-point league. 2014-15, it was a 94-point league. And then you had 2013-14, which Atletico won with 90 points. If it's an 85-point league or less, Atletico have a great shot. And right now, it looks like, you know, with the number of points Barca and Real Madrid have dropped to this point, it's a 75-76-point league right now. It won't stay that way. But it is reasonable to ponder, okay, this might be obtainable. This might be the first time in a long time that maybe no one gets to 90. Maybe.
And I think you can say very fairly with even all of the top four clubs that there are flaws in all of them. And I think more than recently, Barcelona and Real Madrid seem like they have problems. Real Madrid adjusting to losing Ronaldo. And then Barcelona, I think they're coming off winning a league title, but a league title in which they didn't really storm the league, even though they got a bunch of good results. They weren't this scintillating team. I never thought So I think it's certainly open. Atleti are just going to have to take advantage of those tight games in which they try to nick a 1-0 or one goal advantage. So, the best we can hope for is that it stays this close.
Barcelona, by the way, have a hellish schedule coming up.
Let me look. Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, they have Spurs midweek.
Oh, mercy.
They are at Mestalla next weekend. Then they come back, they host Sevilla, they host Inter, they host Real Madrid, they go to Rio to start November, then they go to Inter. Then after the next international break, they come to the Wanda Metropolitano. So their next month, their next 6 weeks, those are a lot of tough games in there.
I mean, there's only one easy game, and that's Rio. And before they play Atleti, they have to play Betis, who are, as everyone knows, not an easy team to play against. So,
yeah,
that, you are correct. That is a hellish schedule.
I don't like looking that far ahead because so much can change. But it's worth noting that hey, Barca have a lot of tough teams coming up.
Well, you play that many big games back to back to back to back, it's going to wear on you.
Yeah.
And one of these teams, or multiple, may be able to take advantage. And I think it's pretty good that Atletico come towards the end of that, even if it is at the end of an international break, which does kind of suck. But we'll take it.
Looking ahead at Real Madrid's schedule, it's quite a bit more forgiving on paper. I mean, their next big game is the Clásico, and that's still a few weeks away. And yeah, their schedule is a bit more forgiving coming up, but we'll see how many more points Barca drop. This was supposed to be the end of their easy stretch, and now they were supposed to be entering the tough stretch with kind of a healthy lead at the top, and that's not the case. So that is something worth keeping an eye on. And, you know, Atletico have a club – pronounce this for me. You're the Belgian expert. How do you pronounce it?
Club Bruges?
Club Bruges. There we go. Club Bruges at home. Real Betis at home. Then they come back from international break, Villarreal and Dortmund back-to-back. That's going to suck. But you got to play the games in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's preferable to Barcelona's run. And I think what will also play to Atleti's advantage is that their Champions League group is much kinder.
And after Dortmund away, Atletico have 5 of the next 6 at home. And that takes us to the end of November.
That's right. I mean, they do have to play Barcelona in that time, which actually, you know, that'll be something.
Actually, they have 6 in a row in Madrid because their only away game between October 27 and November 28 is at Leganés. So they are going to spend like a whole month in Madrid. That's cool. I'm good with that.
Yeah, and we don't have to go to Azerbaijan in this Champions League.
Oh, thank
group,
God.
So.
Oh, thank God.
We're in a good spot right now. And I think the positive sign is that I don't think any Atletico fan would say we've hit our stride yet this season in terms of playing the best football we can. So that's a bit of a bit of potential for the future.
Let's take a look at Club Bruges now, as they are Atletico's next opponent on Wednesday. They are coming They're coming off a 4-0 win on Saturday over Cercle Bruges. I'm guessing that is a derby.
One would assume.
I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say it's a derby. they won 4-0, and they're doing pretty well in the Belgian league. They won it last year, and they are top of the table again this year. The team they beat, Cercle Bruges, a mid-table side, but in their first 9 games in the league this season, 8 wins, 1 draw, a +20 goal difference. They won 5 on the trot.
Not bad.
No.
Not bad at all.
That's all right.
I do know that the Belgian league, this is purely through, I think, mainly football manager knowledge, is like this bizarre playoff system that makes MLS look totally sane.
Oh, yeah. I looked it up when I was doing a little research after the Champions League draw, and it was extremely confusing. Like
it goes into 2, and then there's playoffs, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the regular league season?
Very, very strange. But they lost their first Champions League group stage game to Dortmund, 1-0, Christian Pulisic scoring in the 85th minute. It wasn't a bad performance. I didn't watch the entire match, but it didn't look to me like it was a bad performance. They held their own, but that was at home. Could be a different story away in Madrid.
Yeah, and I mean, they were always going to be the unfancy team of this group, considering yes. how good Atletico, Monaco, and Dortmund have been. I mean, all three of these teams have been in a Champions League final this millennium, so you can say that's fairly a fairly prestigious group.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, Monaco in 2004. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, bastards gave Jose Mourinho his yes. Champions League. Can never be forgiven for that.
Anyway, this isn't going to be like easy pickings for Atletico. Club Brugge do score a lot of goals in domestic play. And they did keep a lot of their players from last year's squad. They lost their leading goal scorer, but they kept their top assist guys who ranked in the top three in the entire league.
Yeah, the Belgian league for a long time has produced some really top quality players, so it sort of stands to reason that they'd have some decent amount of players. I mean, granted, I know very little about anything about this team, although I do know their American goalkeeper, well, one of them, played for the U.S. a couple times, I think. Ethan Horvath. I don't know why. I think I've seen him play on for maybe some U.S. under-23 team or something. But anyway, it should be an interesting match. It's always fun to play teams where you don't quite know too many of their players.
It's another opportunity for Simeone to rotate. He didn't really rotate that much against Huesca, but this is definitely another chance to do so. Vitolo was going to get time against Huesca before Jimenez got hurt, and he did not get time in the derby Saturday, which was a bit of a surprise. I expect he's going to get plenty of run on Wednesday. Maybe not starting, but he will definitely play. It would be a big surprise if he didn't play at this point, considering he is fit. Santiago Arias is back. Would you drop him in the lineup?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think he has to play in this one, just because he needs minutes in the squad. And, you know, Buonfront was really good in the derby, and I don't imagine he's going to lose his place because Simeone loves him, but Arias at least needs to be able to come in if something happens.
I think Arias should start. I think Vitolo should start.
Yep.
Gelson, maybe not, but Gelson needs to play. And I think
Kalinic
should start. Griezmann and Kalinic should be the pairing up top.
I don't see why not. I think maybe Tomas could get a start, although he didn't really do a whole lot off the bench, though that's asking a lot. So he may look to get a start. Simeone's trying to get him in the squad, clearly, but the midfield kind of works without him at the moment.
It does. Shout out Rodri for being awesome.
Yeah, I mean, not to say the midfield's perfect. I mean, clearly he hasn't figured out how to use Koke yet. So perhaps Barty could be a little more effective than Koke. Okay, but we don't know.
Scoreline prediction. What do you got?
Let's go 2-1.
I am going 2-0. I think safe bet is 2-0, give or take a couple goals.
Yeah, I'll give Bruges some credit. I think they'll get one.
Give them a little bit of love.
Why not?
Ethan Horvath penalty save or something.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Yeah, I don't know any of their other players. If I did, I would make some sort of reference, but I don't. So maybe go for Callum to score, see what he can do.
Well, it's not only a good chance to rotate, but a good chance for Atletico to take, with a win, they take a really big step toward qualifying for the last 16.
Absolutely.
And as we saw last year, you cannot throw these games away. See, Carabaj cannot throw this game away. Atletico have to take it seriously, which is why Simeone may
Nobody
only...
Nobody wants to see Carabaj.
He may only make a couple changes, but you got to take this game seriously. In at least some capacity. It won't be as brutal as I think that Dortmund game might be in October, at the end of October. But Atletico have to take this with some degree of, okay, we got to win this today. If we win this, we take another step closer to getting back to where we belong in the knockout stages of the Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely. And that has to be the goal. And I think that sort of based on watching this group a little bit, I think that Atleti have a very solid chance to advance, and two wins would certainly make that feel a little bit closer.
Well, I think that's about all I've got today, Rob.
All right.
Anything you have before we sign off?
That is all for me.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for coming on, as ever.
A pleasure.
Follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. Follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. I will be back, at the very least, on the Patreon page on Wednesday or Thursday to discuss Atletico taking on Club Bruges. That is Wednesday. I think that's a noon kickoff, my time, which I think is 9 o'clock in Madrid. That sounds about right.
Yes, it certainly does. Yes, it is at that time.
Well, when I was writing the match report for the Madrid Derby, I got the day wrong. So let me double check that time.
Hey, I just looked at it as you are correct.
Hey, it is noon. Hey, air horns going off everywhere.
Yes, surely that will be a thrilling Champions League encounter.
So I will be back at the very least on patreon.com/cultgenerochat to analyze that match. And yeah, be on the lookout for that. All right, thank y'all for listening. We'll catch you next time. Adios.